You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, it is written for you. Believe in His promises.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Love your neighbor as yourself. Yes. John 3:14. If you are one who knows that you have eternal life, you are going to have a God kind of love for your neighbors. That means when they mess up, you don't say, "I always knew you would. It was just a matter of time." When they're in trouble, you don't say, "About time they get what they deserve." You know, when they mouth off to you, you can say, "Well, today may be your day, but you got a day coming." Boy, if I told one story, I'd have to repent. No, I already repented for it. We had a cultic organization send me an invitation on the parkway to come to their dedication. I read the invitation. It was a nice card. It was all handwritten. And I read it. And I said, "God, I'm not going to do this. I don't want to be with those people. They're ungodly. They're unrighteous. They're teaching a false way to God. I don't want to be seen going in there. Somebody will see me going in there. I don't want to go in there and sit with dignitaries from the city. I don't want to be a part of that." And you know what? God wasn't impressed with any of my self-righteousness. There was one little line that the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Said, "Read it again." I'm reading it again. Yeah, they want me to go to their thing. It's going to be a big shimbang. There's going to be dinner. There's going to be all kinds of dignitaries. All this stuff's going on. And they ask me to speak. And then it says, "Come as a good neighbor." I said, "Good neighbor? Wait a minute. God, are you serious? Why did they say good neighbor? I read the story of the Good Samaritan. And now they put in here, come and speak as a good neighbor?" I said, "God, I don't want to be a good neighbor to them. They're lost." He said, "Who's going to go to them?" I thought that's what you prayed to do. I thought you wanted to be a witness. I thought you wanted me to open doors. But God, this is not going to look good. He said, "For who? You or me?" You ever wondered how what we do looks to God? You know, God said, "You're not concerned about how I am going to look there. Because if you go for me, they will say, he was willing to come. He's willing to speak." Then the Holy Spirit struck me with something else. He said, "Jonathan, did you notice that they didn't tell you what you could and couldn't say?" I said, "Wow, huh." Okay, so then I just had to say, "Okay, God, what do you want me to do?" I already knew what he wanted me to do. He wanted me to go. Why don't we pray about things we already know? If God says no, it's no. If he says go, go. If it's yes, it's yes. And so, you know, I'm saying, well, God, what do you want me to do? And he said, go. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go. But I'm not going to go happy. I'm not going to go happy. He said, then don't go. I said, but I would be disobeying. Yes, but you'll be disobeying if you go and you're not happy. So I said, now God may not talk to you like this. And I'll tell you, there's benefits, not good benefits, but there's bad benefits of not hearing from God. Because when God talks to me, he doesn't have to candy coat anything. I can't pull anything on him. I can't like go, oh, I don't know what's going on, God. Come on, give me a break again, right? I mean, God goes, you know better. The church knows better. The LGBTQ community knows better. The Holy Spirit is convicting people this morning. Many of them know better. I knew better. But now I've got another problem. I say, God, what am I going to do? He said, they asked you to speak. You're going to speak. Do you remember what God said to Moses and Aaron? I will be with you. And I will tell you what to say. And I will show you what to do. This is not difficult. You know, have you ever played Mother May I? You know, may I raise my hand? Yeah, we all raise our hand. Raise both hands. God said, you don't have to be intelligent to be my child. You just need to be able to listen and speak and do what I'm telling you to do. That's all. So then I'm like, okay, oh, this is going to be easy now. This is going to be good. So, okay, God, I'm going to be going. I'm feeling better about this. I'm not quite so upset. Wait a minute. What did you want me to say, God? He said, I want you to apologize to them. This was my apology tour, right? It was part of my apology tour. For what? For what? I could not think of one thing I needed to apologize to this organization for. I said, God, what am I going to apologize for? And how am I supposed to do it? Well, they ask you to speak, you're going to get up and you're going to apologize. Okay, so shorten the story. So God said, I want you to get up and tell them that you know very little about being a good neighbor and that you're apologizing for that and that I spoke to you and convicted your heart and I sent you here to show the love of God and to speak to them about how much God loves them and wants them to know his son. Okay, God, I like that part about telling them all that, but what about telling them about me? Are you serious, God? Let me tell you, when God works on your heart and he gets you to where you know that you have to do what you have to do, sometimes there's emotion that comes along too. And I was not looking forward to going to that afternoon dedication. I was like, Father, this is embarrassing. I don't know what anybody's going to think about me. He said, that's your problem. You're worried about what everybody's thinking about you. When are you going to worry about what I think about you? Is it okay if I talk like that? Ruddy, can I talk like this? I mean, are preachers allowed to talk like this? I'm confessing, right? I'm confessing. And so I got there and I'm sitting on the front row. They had a place for me, right? So it's on the front row. And sitting on the row are the people from the city that at one time had said that whatever we wanted to do, that they were going to vote against it. Here are some of these people from the commission sitting on the same row. And I'm like, okay, God. And I'm nervous. My hands are sweating. And then they said, and Pastor Jonathan McLean from Abundant Life right up the street, he came in as a good neighbor today and he's gonna share a little bit with us. And all I can tell you is I blubbered and blundered my way through whatever God had on my heart to say. They never asked me back. But you know what? I did what God asked me to do. So there is a love of God. There is and for the family, it's not just a love of God, but there's a love for the family. And those who know that they have eternal life, they will have an inner witness of the Holy Spirit. Your spirit bears witness. His spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. Now, some of you grew up in different churches, so maybe you didn't hear this, and maybe you don't know what to think about it, but when I was 15 and we had altars, I'm afraid we have a generation that aren't even going to know what an altar is unless they're in one of those secular churches. I'm into all the worship, but we still need an altar. I'm into dancing in the... I'm not a dancer. If you see that, it'll be the Holy Ghost, I guarantee you. I mean, I'm just not coordinated. I'm not opposed to it. I'm just not wired really well for that. Maybe if I go with Ruddy to the beach and get a better tan, I'll be better at that. But we'll work on that. Right, Ruddy? We still need an altar. We used to call them mourner's benches. Because the Word says that godly sorrow leads to repentance. What are you talking about? The church I grew up, it was a shaking the preacher's hand and getting dipped in the pond, and you're a member. We're not talking about being members, we're talking about repenting. Repenting. So, there's something used to be said, and I had somebody pounding on my back praying, "Let go! Let go! Jonathan, let go!" Somebody else over here is beating on my back, "Hold on! Hold on! Hold on! I'm like, am I supposed to let go or hold on? What am I supposed to do?" The prayer team needed to have an upper room moment to figure out who was on first. But I knew what needed to be done. Because I had been told I needed to confess every sin in order to be forgiven. And I'm like, I don't think I can remember back that far. They started early, and there were days of a lot of activity. We traveled fast. And so I'm trying to confess every sin I can think of because I don't want to get up before it's done. And then somebody said, "Don't get up until you get the witness." And I'd heard what that was from old timers that said, I stayed on my knees and I sought God until I knew in my knower that God had forgiven me and I was a child of God. Oh, I know we're more modern today. Some, you know, I never even seen a mourner's bench. You know what that is. But let me tell you, there was a puddle all over that wooden hard altar, and there probably were drops that went to the floor. And I'll tell you this, that whatever happened that night when I was on my knees is still happening this morning. Because when there is true repentance with godly sorrow, there is a change of direction and a change that of correction, and there is a change that transforms us. And that happened to me. And I had an inner witness. Never forget that night. I don't know, there were several thousand people in that gathering. I was the only one that went to the altar. There was no altar call. But there was really, to me. I got up and there's my Bible teacher. The same teacher that I tore the pages out of the Bible and I slid them up my pant leg and down into my sock. And I would sit in Bible class and cross my legs and I would read the Word and I would write it down so I passed Bible so my father didn't kill me. There's that Bible teacher standing there, and all I can think about is all those Bible tests I cheated on. See, if you didn't go to Bible school, then you didn't have a problem with cheating in Bible class, right? So guess what I did? I had to do it right then. I said, "I am so sorry. I cheated my way all the way through Bible. I've always been a cheat. I've lied, I've cheated, I don't deserve the grades, I'm so sorry, God's changed my heart. And he said something about, well, I'm so glad that you're changed. And that was it. And I went to take another step. There was another teacher, and all these people were there. And they're like, oh, we're so glad this whole rotten egg is finally surrendered to God. You know, the black sheep has come home. And then I stepped outside the back door, and here were all of my friends that I'd run with, and all of us were resisting God. And they're all just standing there waiting. And something happened. It happened at that altar. The Holy Spirit came, and I had a witness, and I saw that Bible teacher, and something happened, and I had a witness, and I got outside the auditorium, and here's all my buddies, and something happened, and I had a witness, and about an hour later, I was saying, you better turn or you're gonna burn. Jesus is coming soon, and you need to get right with God. And I'm outside the church preaching. Because that witness was so powerful. And then let me tell you, the day that the Holy Spirit baptized me, that witness, it got megafied. I don't know if that's a word. I have wordsmiths at the radio station. They go, that's not a word. We never heard that word before. I'm like, well, that's okay. It's a word to me. It got magnified. It got megafied. When I was baptized in the Holy Spirit just opens everything up on a whole new dimension. Have an inner witness of the Holy Spirit. It's absolutely genuine. Have a lifestyle of faith-filled. Faithful, faith-filled, walking in fellowship with God. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship. And we have a living hope. Living hope. Not a religious hope. A living hope. In the resurrection, that Christ is going to raise me from the dead, and He is coming again for His church. The Word of God is so liberating. So liberating. And do you know, if we didn't have so much baloney that had been taught to us, it wouldn't take so long to teach what the Word says. We have to unteach the baloney so we can get a hold of the Word of God. Because I'll tell you what's happened too many times. People said, this is what we believe. Now we're going to find scriptures to teach what we believe. So then they pull a piece of this and a piece of that, and they pull it out of context, and then they teach doctrines of men instead of the Word of God. And Satan loves it. He loves it because people can sit in church their whole life and go right into hell. But you know what? Today, millions have left the church, and they've left because they didn't find anything different there than they found Monday at work. So we know that the witness of God in our life is so important. So important. Father, we want to just thank You and praise You this morning for the blood of Jesus. We don't bring any ceremonies. We don't bring any church records to show that, man, I had perfect attendance. No. No. We come and we say, Father, as we come to receive communion, this morning, we're not coming as a perfect sacrifice. I know we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. But we come and present our bodies because Jesus is our perfect sacrifice. You're the perfect sacrifice, Lord Jesus. And You're our high priest. That's what Hebrews is about. None of you could get where you need to be with God unless you understand that we have a high priest whose name is Jesus. Oh, Father, it's so common and yet it's so powerful that God so loved the world that you gave your one and only Son, that whosoever, yes, you're watching, yes, whosoever, it includes you today. Let me tell you, if you have any desire to serve God, to make it to heaven, you have any desire in your heart to be changed by the power of God, then you definitely have not crossed any line. God is calling you. Friends, listen, God is calling. I believe God is calling this morning. I believe God is calling husbands. I believe God is calling wives. I believe God is calling sons. I believe God is calling us in this room to recognize that these are days of Pentecost. It's 2023. There's a shaking that's taking place across our nation. Wickedness is being exposed. Demons are being scattered in the name of Jesus. Strongholds are being torn down. Blind eyes are being opened in Jesus' name. Deaf ears are hearing. Dumb are speaking. And we declare the worthiness of our God, the awesomeness of our God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, you may say, I don't understand that. I wasn't talking to you. You're praying in tongues. You're not talking to me. You're talking to God. Now, if it's a public gathering and God's going to give a prophetic word, then God will touch someone's heart and the message will come out in whatever language the listeners are able to receive. But don't hesitate during our worship to lift up praise and worship in the Spirit. Don't hesitate during prayer times to pray in the Spirit. Don't hesitate to exalt the Lord and lift up the name of Jesus. No, it's not just a prayer closet gift. It is a public gift. And it's needed in the assembly. It's needed around the altar. It's needed in our house. It's needed in our worship services. And it's in the Word of God. And the Word of God says to not hinder. To not hinder tongues. To not restrain it. So, Father, I pray that you'd release a fresh anointing that breaks down the barriers and opens up the hearts. And Father, whether it's west in town or east in town or north or south, wherever, that regardless of the signs, Father, once again have mercy on America and fill your house with the Word of God. Father, we're not ashamed. The gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just prepare our hearts. The enemy's trying to condemn you this morning. Remind him of the Word of God that there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. You're in Christ, Christ is in you. Just let the enemy know that. I'm in Christ, Christ is in me, and there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. That's who I am. That's who I am. Now, if you need to get some things right with God, you need to do it this morning. Don't put it off. Don't wait till tomorrow. Now. Now is the time. Now is the time. If you need to confess some sin, confess it. Come back to God. If you've got mud on your spirit this morning, then confess it. Get it out. Get it out. Right where you are. You can come down here. You can get on your knees. You can get on your knees where you are. You can cry out to God. Amen. Amen. Well, Father, I thank you for the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you so loved us. You so loved us that you gave yourself for us that we might be redeemed. Thank you, Father, for the blood and the body. And we bless this covenant meal. We receive it in faith and celebration. And thank you, Father, that greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. And you're a great high priest for us, and you're interceding for us. We receive this bread in faith and thanksgiving as a child of God. Let's receive. Amen. Oh, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for paying all of the price for my sins, our sins. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world." Thank you, Father. You may say, "Pastor, you don't know how big of a truckload that is for me." No, I don't. I don't. But I know this. I know this, that when Jesus gave his life and his blood was spilt, that the price was fully paid. Receive forgiveness. Give forgiveness. Receive forgiveness. In Jesus' name, let's receive the cup. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name. And fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."
Nothing is impossible.